Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, Paul.
We're a little late today here, but I thought that's because Donald Trump was calling you right before he went into the meeting. I think the
traffic was heavy. Everybody was leaving Mexico and coming to the States because Donald Trump was making an appearance in Mexico. In case anybody's listening,
it's just a crazy thing. About, I mean, I'm sorry. Whether you like, I guess everybody knows that I'm not a Donald Trump fan here, but. I mean, 3 weeks, 6 weeks before the election, you go down and visit the guy that you called F-words, and they called you the F-word, and everybody thinks they're compared you to Hitler and Mussolini, and now you're going to go down and have a little lunch with the guy here? And,
you know, it just goes to show you the only one truth when it comes to politics.
What's that?
Okay. The only one truth that comes to politics is it's all noise.
Yes.
It's just shiny object distractions and noise. That is all that there is there. Not only is he going to Mexico. He's going to Mexico. The guy is receiving him, right?
Yeah.
And he is already flip-flopped so many times, you don't know which side of what is what.
And then he flies right back from there, and this evening gives his new updated address on what he really meant over the last 4 weeks here.
And Trust me. I'm no fan of the other side either. Right? Okay, I'm not picking one over the other. I think the fact there was a little image on Facebook. I don't know what you call those things, but it basically said, you know, out of how many population do we have in this country? Like, you know, 400 million people, and it's come down to these two choices that we have, basically, right? Is this the best we can do, right?
Do you want a crook or a clown?
I saw something about just to backtrack for a minute, we still have primaries in certain places for you know, up and down the ticket.
Yeah.
Okay. And so Debbie Wasserman Schwartz in Florida yesterday, right? And she's like, she won her primary. And it's like, this is the woman that basically somehow resigned
in disgrace
because it was... She was undermining Bernie Sanders' campaign. Yes, we are Bernie Sanders fans here.
And you are. I don't know. I sort of like him, but
yeah, okay. Well, you're just a rebel.
I'm a rebel,
baby boomer.
I'm a rebel without a cause. I really am.
You're a rebel without a cause, but you got a radio station. That's really bad. Okay. And then basically, the way that it was described, that even after all of that, she still won the primary yesterday in Florida. And the reason they said that the reason why she won. It's not necessarily because she had all this stuff against her,
right?
But the other people that were running were worse.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay, and it was it was reported like it was news. Like, well, you know, the reason she won is because, you know, those who were running against her were worse. Let's move on to the next story.
The truth is that I did not want to listen to your show today here, but it wasn't as bad as the other show I could listen to.
What was the other show? That you could listen to?
So you're the lesser of two evils.
I'm the lesser of two evils. Wow, Paul, I really appreciate that. You know, I know where I'm feeling the love.
Not. No.
No, but that is crazy, right? We have gotten to the point that our reality is supposed to be making decisions on what is the least worst possible outcome. I mean, instead of actually trying to reach for the best that we can be, we are basically compromising for the least of the worst.
My wife always says the only reason she picked me is because her other boyfriend was uglier, so I was less ugly.
You want to? Can you get her on the phone for me?
That's the way we pick
everything. I really want to know how ugly he really was.
He was very ugly. Very ugly.
Okay, so
very poor.
So how? By very poor and very ugly.
There you go. She might have put up with him.
Wow, you must have put on a real show. Entertainment, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Roberts. Entertainment. Speaking of which, though, you're a grandfather,
yes.
Right? And how old is your grandchild now? Grandson?
Two and a half.
So you're not dealing with all that crazy school stuff yet, right?
No, not yet.
Okay.
We're just in the experimental phase. Everything is fun and new. We took him out the other day, and I poured a bucket. He was in the backyard. I was doing some gardening. He loves to help me. So I filled up his little bucket sand pail with some water. And normally he just pours it out. Yeah. And then I fill it up again. He pours it out. This time I had another.
Kind of like an FDR, you know.
Endless bucket.
New deal.
You fill up. I pour it out.
I dig the hole, you fill it up.
Exactly. So this time I had a bucket too. And I said, here, let me show you something. I poured his bucket into my bucket. And it didn't disappear. And he looked. He looked again. And he poured it back. And then he poured it back. He must have sat there for an hour. And he looked up. At, yeah, I swear to God, if he could speak, he would have said, how long has this been going on? Who knew? You can pour it in and it doesn't disappear. We're in that phase right now. Everything is exciting.
And okay, so people go, why the heck are we talking about Paul's grandson? No, I'll tell you why. Because we talk about this show being a journey of aging, right?
Yes.
So here you are, and as everybody who's ever listened to it, more than one show... knows that you are 60,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
you should have seen leading up to his birthday. Every friggin' show he had to remind people. I'm surprised we didn't get inundated with gifts at the door.
That's what I was aiming for.
Subtle, very subtle.
Instead,
right?
I got condolences all the time. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, you're 60.
So for you, you're 60, you're experiencing being a grandfather for the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting. It's part of your journey, right? I mean, you're learning new stuff every day. You're seeing things through the eyes of your grandson that probably...
All new again. Everything is new again. The things we take for granted are the most exciting things he's ever seen in the world. We saw a turtle the other day. He couldn't stop talking about it all day. A turtle. I saw a turtle? Yes, you saw a turtle. A turtle? You know, it was like... How long has this been going on? Where have they been hiding these things here?
By turtles. The way, you got a little Gene Wilder going on when you say that, right? Just take a moment of silence for Gene Wilder who passed this.
He was great.
You know, somebody asked me, like, well, what's your favorite movie? I said, I'm sorry, I cannot pick one.
Oh, I don't.
I cannot pick one character for Gene Wilder. That was a real loss.
I remember when Silver Streak came out, and we all laughed hysterically with Richard Pryor and Silver Streak. And, yeah, it's just great movie.
Well,
she's giving us a hint here.
She's trying to get in on the grandparent thing. Right? Yeah, we'll introduce her in a minute.
Right.
But the thing that's interesting about that is, again, you know, he supposedly passed away, was suffering from Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's, yeah. And I never heard
they kept it quiet.
They kept it quiet.
And it was sort of respecting his wishes, but... That was kind of interesting, right? I mean, here's a person that was somewhat outspoken, you know, with his wife, what happened as far as
cancer.
It was like, what, 2-3 years or 4 years after they got married? It was
pretty
very short. Yeah. And then here he is, you know, very private as far as Alzheimer's goes.
And that notion
in this day and age.
That notion that you talk about all the time on the show, that what is it about people when they get to a certain age or have a certain disease or have a certain problem, we have to take them out of public view. They have to be isolated. My mother had Parkinson's disease, and she self-isolated. She was embarrassed to go out in public and shake. She didn't want her own sister and family to see her.
I think it was the same thing
years.
With Gene Wilder. What little I have paid attention to relevant to that specific thing is he basically chose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't
they,
want anybody
the,
fa- to see
the
me
family
like
kind of respected his wishes for doing that, which is interesting because we, you know, I bring it up because most people say, well, you know, it's 2016. We are inundated with Alzheimer's. We're inundated with this and that.
People aren't shocked.
AARP is trying to be the hipster channel, you know, now, but repositioning themselves and rebranding themselves. And we got all this openness and communication and vulnerability, public vulnerability, and, you know, everybody knows more than they ever need to about anybody else by just going to Facebook for 2 seconds, right? And yet here's a situation. Mm-hmm. Where these issues are really very private and they're very personal, and you just don't know how you're going to respond to
and
that.
Somehow
until you're
it's
in
okay
shoes.
If I can see Kim Kardashian, you know, goes up 2 pounds and that's a major crisis, or I can see anything, these bizarre things that they do. Nothing is too crude or rude for them to share with us in public. It's never too much information anymore. And yet, when you get old. No, I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear
it
about
you. It has to
you.
Do with aging, and we basically all of a sudden still have that sort
put
of...
Put that somewhere else.
Right. And I think this is a good transition, because who we have on the show today is, and we've had them on the show before, is Prentice Health, and it's the foundation, right? And I have Wilson, and Wilson, what is your last name?
Encarnacion.
See, I was going to say Encarnacion, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
that's
a
good Catholic sound.
I'm
an Irish Catholic, so Encarnacion. Yeah, that's a real Catholic sounding.
You guys, we're not on YouTube today, right?
Yeah.
We're not doing. Okay, so just imagine. I wanted to say that I experienced the room getting darker. Candles lighting at the altar. It has such a church like thing. How was it?
Reincarnation.
Yeah, reincarnation. Yeah. So, and I'm going to come back to that though. Okay. Okay, we're going to talk about something else on that, right? And we have Deborah Pearson, who's a friend of the show and also books a lot of our guests. Hi, Deborah. Say hello.
Hello. Deborah's in the house again.
Deborah's got to bring her mic down. Lower. Bring him here.
And she's community relations for
Say hi, Deborah.
Parentis Health.
Hello. There we go. Community relations ambassador for Parentis Health Foundation. Yet another hat I'm wearing.
And Janice, who's the vice chair on the board of directors for the foundation. Introduce yourself, Janice.
I'm Janice Frechette Artinger and vice chair of the Parentis Health Foundation.
Who also scribbled when we were all focused
that
on...
I'm a grandmother of three.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't
yes,
it a wonderful
I'm
thing?
So jealous.
How old
Can't
are your
wait.
Grandkids?
I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Wow.
Grandchildren.
You're too young. You look too young today. I know I'm supposed to say that, but you do look too young. I look like I'm a great-grandfather.
I thought you were going to start flirting on there.
Yeah. Baby boomers, we have to keep it alive here. You know?
Keep it alive. and if you guys can't see it, but, you know, Paul's also representing with his nuances of musical choices, wearing a Woody Shaw t-shirt today. So
yeah, let's play a little.
Yeah. Oh, we're playing a little jazz in there too.
Oh,
wow,
nice.
like it. Yeah. See, Janice, he doesn't do that for me.
Look,
he's shaking his head. Yeah,
we have to stick together. You
That's
know?
Right.
Yeah.
Da, da, da,
I think I'm going to call the show now. We'll just listen to the music.
Keep it spicy.
Keep it spicy.
So
that's Woody Shaw from the album Rosewood.
So the thing about this. You know, we're talking about all this factors of life, you know, grandkids and all this stuff. You know, you guys with the foundation, it's actually, the focus is not purely people that are seniors.
That's correct.
Right?
Right.
So last time we had you guys here, we were talking about the golf tournament, and we were talking about, you know, your relationship with AgeWell Services. But I wanted you guys to come back because you really do have a lot, your fingers in a lot of stuff, kind of. So take a little bit and walk us through the foundation. A little bit of background, guys, and maybe some of the, you know, sort of the areas of focus that you guys handle.
Well, let's talk about Parentis first. What I mean, the company first, and then why
well, that, the foundation. Well, that's the background I was asking for. Yeah. Like, kind of like,
give us the company story for those that didn't hear it before, and then why did they set up a foundation, and what do you do?
All right. So Parentis Health is a company that specialize in dealing with seniors. Mm-hmm. We have several divisions of the company. We have residential facilities. We actually have 10 residential facilities in our area in South County. We also have a home care company. We also have a home health company as well. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of different services, care management and so forth. So as a business, that's what we do. But we also wanted to get involved in the community, and we have been involved for many, many years in a senior community as well as organizations such as the Boys and Girls Club. Mm-hmm. So it just made sense naturally to set up our own foundation, well, which we did work on.
And that's kind of the interesting thing for me, Wilson, was when I was looking at that, is that you guys are not just in the business of serving seniors. You're actually in the business of strengthening communities.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right. And I think let's take a minute and just absorb that for a minute, because there is a difference. And in a way, it is a long-term strategic plan with wide-reaching positive impact if you approach it that way, including seniors. Because at the end of the day, it is a community situation that we deal with, whether it's the public policy side of it or the city, you know, advocacy, all this stuff.
Absolutely.
Especially in South Orange County, especially on the coastline here in OC, where we have communities that are becoming naturally occurring retirement communities. It's no longer the Sun Cities of the world or the leisure worlds of the world that where people just basically go through a gate and now you are in that zone. Now our natural communities, you know, with like in San Clemente, you got Pendleton, you know, the whole town is basically on the cusp of being a naturally occurring retirement community. Well, what does that do? So we have to look at solutions as communities. So this is what really appealed to me with you guys, is that you're almost forward thinking, but you're also big picture. It's a helicopter,
sure.
Yes. not a microscope, right?
Sure.
And take a minute, please, and explain to people, because those terms get interchanged all the time. Home care,
yes,
and home health.
Okay, so as far as the difference between the two services, mm-hmm. Two different companies actually, the home care division that we have basically provides in-home care to our clients, our patients, in their home. So we provide services for them and send basically caregivers for them.
And is it purely seniors focused for in-home care?
Primarily, but not necessarily seniors. However, on the side of that, which is the home health division, we actually deploy professionals, skilled professionals such as nurses, LVNs, physical therapists, speech therapists, those kind of things that are more related to skilled medical professionals that we send out and to deploy to the home. So, but in both the cases, we do send out our professionals.
I asked you to do that because a lot of times it's just almost like a blanket statement. Oh, it's care and home.
Yes.
But I don't think people realize that actually this, there's this skill level difference in some cases based on the individual needs.
Absolutely, yes, definitely.
And actually, we just got approved for our ACHC license, which is an accreditation commission of healthcare for home health. So it really gives us an opportunity to reach the masses in health and wellness. So that's very exciting.
Well,
and Wilson is very humble. He is he was instrumental in partnering us with AARP and its foundation. And Wilson, why don't you go ahead and talk about that too.
I want to get back to that, sure. but hold on a second. So the whole nature of in-home care has changed recently. Yeah. I mean, as far as regulations and all this stuff, right?
Absolutely.
It has become quite a more, if you're not ready for it, daunting provision of service, right?
Yes,
there's more regulation. There's more stuff like that. And sort of the irony of all ironies is that that wasn't there before.
Yes.
Right? And all, so, and again, I'm using this sort of platform to tell people, because people go, we'll hire our own caregiver.
Yes. Right? Yes. And those things are not as easily done as it was prior to this year.
Right.
Actually.
Right. Yeah. And you know, you're taking kind of risk on your own hands. So people go, well, you know, why should I go to an agency or I can go to somebody that...
Absolutely.
There's things like protections. You know, there's checks, background checks and stuff like that that are done. You're not going to necessarily do that as effectively as an individual. I'm not saying you can't, but also there's things like, you know, how you basically handle the payments. You know, what are the withholdings? There's all these technicalities that a lot of people basically, you know, are
training.
Kind of training that's required, right? And then the oversight and maintenance of the quality of service.
The liability
factor. So, again, I thank you for taking a minute to do that because I think it doesn't get covered enough. And then tell me a little bit more about also the what happened. Like, how did Prentice Health, the company, decide to do this foundation? Was it because of this wider reach into community desire?
Yeah, so we've always been involved in the community, specifically the senior community. However, we do play a role, a big role in doing a lot of advocacy and charitable causes for children.
Like you said, Boys and Girls Clubs.
Boys and Girls Club, for instance. So,
great organization.
In creating the Parentis Health Foundation, actually our slogan is Parentis Health Foundation, bridging the gap between youth through maturity. So that is our slogan, and that's what we live by, with a concentration of benefiting seniors, but at the same time as kids. So we wanted to be able to have these two forces from youth to maturity be able to help each other, engage each other, and actually do a lot of partnerships to be able to communicate.
How long have you been doing this?
As
kind of a focus,
yeah. So the foundation we set up, we actually started it, I guess, about a year ago.
Okay.
And we're really getting some traction right now in a lot of different communities, senior care communities, as well as 55-year-old communities and so forth. And we're doing a lot of initiatives right now. One of the things that we actually did bring on board was Janice, who is one of the board members for the Boys and Girls Club, and her credentials, her qualifications and her dedication to the cause is just phenomenal. So we asked her to join us, and she's pretty to look at too. You know,
perfect segue, Wilson. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I couldn't have done that better.
Right?
So, Janice, let me ask you this, because I mean, I think the timing is interesting on this. And I think a lot of you know, we are sort of in the midst of it, right? A lot of people on the outside are not necessarily maybe aware of certain developments and certain different approaches for certain things. We think of seniors in one category, in one filter, if you will. But there's been things where, like, you know, they've actually brought in almost childcare, daycare, insight to senior facilities.
Absolutely.
Where there is a crossing over, if you will, there is a bridging between the older community and, in a way, if you think about it, you guys are both grandparents. See, right. It always ties back.
It always ties back,
doesn't it, Paul? Right. Okay, people go, oh, you guys are all over the map. It always ties back. So there's benefits. And if you start thinking about solutions and dealing with issues in a sustainable manner, as far as solution goes, there's skill sets. There's things that people bring to the table. People that are maybe quote-unquote seniors, I'm sorry, I'm not calling you guys seniors, baby boomers.
Don't watch it. Fighting words.
People that are getting up there. No. It gets worse.
People that just started young.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, I like this. All right.
So people that are older, that may be members of the community, that have more time, luxury of time, right, still are very much a contributing part of communities. Right? Especially these days when you're healthier longer, so you're not basically burdened by these medical problems.
So let me ask you, you hit the nail on the head that I've been wanting to ask since this show started. Are seniors still seen as part of the community? Or are they supposed to move out, go get warehoused, go to another community, leave? And if they stay within the community, they're isolated, they're separated, they're not seen.
They're not leaving. That's why the property taxes aren't increasing. They're staying in their homes, right. And the young folks are having to go somewhere else because property values are too high, but there's no transaction transference, so there's no higher tax collected. So communities are burdened with more amenities to provide for seniors, and yet the money isn't coming in, and you're getting rid of the young people that cannot afford to stay there, that were born and raised there. We talk about this all the time, right?
I know.
It's interesting.
It's happening.
It's interesting that the only way to really deal with this is in a holistic community approach, right, that really is sustainable.
That's really why we have we're so passionate about standing behind the Prentice Health Foundation and bridging the children with the seniors. And one of the things that I talk to people about in the community are every single one of us, it doesn't matter if you're 75, at one point in your life you had a senior. Mm-hmm. That was your mentor. That was the person you looked up to and you idolized.
Right.
And our grandchildren, we're that for our grandchildren right now, where we could say the same exact thing that their parents say to them. They don't listen to their parents.
I do that to Paul every week.
But they listen to us.
That's true.
And taking this model and this, it's not something that's done. We're either advocating for children or we're advocating for seniors. But very rarely do we think about bridging them and pulling them together.
So how do you do this specifically?
Well, one of the campaigns that we're working on right now with the AARP Foundation, and that brings into our initiatives and in our partnership with AARP,
right.
The AARP Foundation, is a project called Experience Corps, and it's a literacy program that it's brought into underserved communities and in different parts of the state. And it's actually happening now in other parts of the country and San Diego in Northern California. But AARP Foundation's Experience Corps brings senior citizens into youth organizations like the Boys and Girls Club and also school systems. And they never realized Orange County had a need. Amazingly, they do now because of Prentice Health and bringing them into our community.
The largest concentration of seniors in the country per capita.
And children who have that need for either mentoring senior opportunities. We have a latchkey system here in our area here in Orange County. And we also have a very high population of multicultural communities that need to help our children in forming literacy.
So not only do you have the need, you also have the need with nuances within different ethnic communities and different groups and
Absolutely.
Concentrations. So it's even more complex.
In a community that has a high population of seniors
yeah.
and a high population of young children
yeah.
coming up. So the Experience Corps program that we're implementing here in Orange County in 2017 under our foundation will take seniors that were skilled, trained through the program, and pair them with children in youth organizations.
What kind of training will they receive?
They are going to receive, and Experience Corps has this program already modeled throughout the country, but we'll be launching it here in Orange County. They'll be receiving training on bringing in, learning how to work with the educational system, the teachers, with their curriculums, how to work with children that may not be necessarily compliant to do their reading skills, and teach them fun ways to interact with the kids on a regular basis.
So this almost like where it's almost like after school kind of programs?
It is. It's an after school program, and in some cases they actually go into the schools during the school day. Mm-hmm. And we'll be developing that model that's going to best fit for our community.
See, that's fascinating. It's, I mean, it's almost like the retired executives, you know,
score,
score, right? Yeah. That it identifies that there's a skill set that is still valuable that the community benefits from.
They have so much to offer.
Right.
Seniors have something to offer after you retire, after you're just supposed to move out and play golf and play bingo and be forgotten and put aside somewhere.
You should actually be allowed to do that for about 2 years and then report back.
Go back to society, right? Yes. You know what? One of the things that I actually wanted to elaborate on is the whole experience core program, their purpose of it is to help children that are young children, first grade, second grade, and third grade, get them up to par with their reading level. Mm-hmm. University study shows all over the country that if a child is not up to par with their reading level at third grade, mm-hmm. when they entering into fourth grade, mm-hmm. there's such a huge likelihood that mm-hmm. that person will not even graduate high school.
Crime and
all these other drugs, all these things associated with it. So the whole purpose, really, well, one of the major purposes to be able to get them up to grade.
And let me give you one other shocking statistic that I discovered as I became a grandparent. My daughter, as you know from listening to the show, if you have, I adopted a girl from Mexico. So my daughter, my only child, is Hispanic. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she married, she found another Hispanic guy, and they live over in Santa Ana in a very Hispanic low-income community. You know, that's where they live. Mm-hmm. And so this is where my grandson's growing up. And at first I was concerned about that because one of the things I read was that not only are the school systems more overloaded and fewer resources and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, more impacted in high concentration areas, yeah.
But one of the things in a lot of these, what should we call them,
Emerging minority.
I'm trying to come up a polite way to say this. Poor communities of minority people are just
underprivileged.
They've moved here recently from someplace, and they're not melted into society here yet. Is that they don't hear as many words. Right. I talk all the time. Mm-hmm. In a lot of these communities, both parents are working. There's nobody around talking to them. These kids are alone a lot. The TV is their friend.
Yep.
And so they're not having conversation. And the people they are conversing with are not as conversant in English anyway. So they're not hearing, maybe they're hearing words in Vietnamese or Cambodian or Spanish or whatever. So not only is there nobody there to interact with them, and just fill up their heads with vocabulary and ideas and words, but there's nobody there specifically to do it with English, and yet they're going to grow up in an English-speaking
society. Staggering statistics on that, but the major thing is no one's reading to them.
Yes, right. So it was something like, I'm going to make this figure up, but it was something shocking, like an average kid that grows up in an affluent, you know, white neighborhood like I grew up in would hear, I don't know, 8 million words by the time they're eight or something.
Absolutely.
And it's like 10 times less if you grew up in a poor Hispanic.
There's a part, I want to be very clear. We're making it sound that this is something that is only a problem in certain socioeconomic part of our community. Okay?
It's not.
My nephews go to private school in South County.
Right.
Okay? There's still almost a bribery approach to get them to read.
Right.
Oh, well, okay. Reading is just not...
How many pages and how much they get paid to read those pages? I mean, I'm sitting there going, this is a racket, basically. Absolutely. You're going to read X number of pages. Now, so what do they do, though, is they don't get paid. What happens is if they read a certain number of pages, certain number whatever over a period of time, and it's an accumulated thing in the class, then either their parents or something donate towards an effort. I mean, it's an interesting way. And what is it telling me? It doesn't really matter whether you're on this side of the tracks or that side of the tracks, which, by the way, Santa Ana is getting very gentrified, so may not be for a long time.
Right.
But it doesn't really matter which side of the track you are.
But
in both cases,
but I don't want to diminish
the importance of reading.
Clearly, there is in emerging communities, in these poor ethnic communities, there is a lack of reading skill and anybody reading, and a lack of just, I guess I didn't realize they just don't hear as many words, and therefore we wonder why they don't grab the language and read as well.
Janice, go ahead.
I also want to speak to the fact that this type of a program that we're introducing into the community is an asset to our educational system.
Yeah.
Because the teachers have 35 plus.
Right, the system itself is impacted.
In their class. So in order to have programs like the Boys and Girls Club, where these children come in after school, they have their power hour, and this is the time where we would bring this type of a program into them. We make it fun, and then the senior citizens are just there to pay attention to them. They're not on their iPhones. They're not answering emails. They're not worrying about cooking dinner. It's helping the parents. It's helping the teachers, and it's really bringing seniors out of isolation.
Yes.
And reducing depression in seniors.
Right.
And on the other end of the spectrum for teens as well, teen suicide, depression, isolation.
They have mentors.
Yes, they have mentors to look up to. They're so overstimulated.
But that goes to the basic question, is do we value the seniors in this country? In other cultures, mainly Asian cultures, they value senior wisdom. And they see that, and they revere that, and they honor that. Here we value youth, and we throw people out. I still think.
Well, I'll give you a perfect duality. Okay, we want to take care of our kids, and we want to keep them off drugs.
Right.
But we don't want to provide sober living homes in neighborhoods that where these kids are maybe have families and support systems, because it may have a negative impact on property values.
Right.
So we, I think, as communities, benefit from organizations like Prentice Health Foundation here that are willing to present the narrative where it's connecting the dots. Because if left to its our own devices, first of all, the sort of the political municipality system does not have the funding or the resources to do it. The educational system does not have the funding and resources, and the demands, the prices keep going up, and the demand and the money is tighter and tighter. We have, let's face it, we have communities that are aging, too. So you know the whole, you know, you got to look at these communities and go, okay, we were saying, you know, you have a lot of young and you have a lot of old, right? But it might also be that over the course of the next 10-year projection is that we're not going to get so many families coming in and actually raising families in these areas because the property values are too high, right? So, again, we cannot, whether it is a senior situation, you know, or senior community servicing situation, whether it's a health-based, you know, solution that we're trying to develop, whether it's a multi-generational family dynamic in certain areas that maybe there are more traditional, you know, ethnic group family dynamic structures, we have to look at this stuff bigger picture, and we don't tend to do that.
Well,
we get caught in our own little trench and look only off, you know, over that little lip of dirt, and that is all what we're basically self-imposing in ourselves into these little holes. Those solutions do not last.
But we don't connect people.
And resources
you said connect
wasted.
The dots. I'll take exception to that. We're not dots. We're connecting different groups that never interact with each other. Seniors are isolated. Poor children are isolated. Nobody brings those two together but for a program like this.
You know, let me just interject something here also. The purpose is bridging the gap between youth through maturity, right?
Right.
We're talking about the children and how they're impacted by this.
Right.
Let's talk about the seniors for a minute, right?
Yeah.
They are gratified. They have self-worth.
Mm-hmm. Purpose,
right? Mm-hmm. They have purpose. They enjoy what they're doing. It gives them a sense of freedom,
validates
right? And it
them.
Gives them, you know, it actually eliminates and alleviates isolation also for the senior. So,
helping
Wilson, my mother-in-law, right?
Sure.
She's now a grandmother for the first time. Okay, on my brother-in-law's side. Okay, they had a daughter a year ago. So she's filling in, you know, that kind of aspect. They drop her off, you know, because they're both work. However, here's how it's interesting. This woman is busy 6 days a week.
Busier than before, probably.
Retired. Yeah. Okay, right. And so it's funny because she's healthier. She's more, you know,
happier.
Active, yeah. Happier. Yeah.
And sharp, mindset, mentally sharp. Right?
Mental sharpness.
She's empowered.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so absolutely.
And worth. Yeah, she feels self-worth.
Daily reaffirmation of my self-worth by what it is that I am contributing.
Absolutely. So when does this program start, or has it already started?
That's a good question. We are in the process of raising funds, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, the starting the foundation on the foundation level. So
they're going to donate. He's going to take. Do you take credit cards?
I like that. We take credit cards.
Why do you always volunteer to donate?
Look at the way you're dressed. Look at the way I'm dressed.
Who's got
the
suit on?
I spent all my money on my clothing. You're hiding it in your pocket.
That's right.
Actually, when we leave this meeting, we're heading to a planning committee meeting for the board for the foundation, and we're in the process right now of developing a board, a community mm-hmm. of like-minded individuals who understand what our mission is. And right. I don't think it's that hard to wrap your brain around it. I think it makes sense, and it's something that no matter where you are in your generation, you've had that senior mentor, and yeah. you've had that youth experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense for us. So right now, Experience Corps, AARP Foundation is mm-hmm. looking to raise the startup funds, and that they're looking to us to help them do that.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, we're looking to get the mission and the groundwork established. So sometime in 2017, these programs will start in areas of the identified neighborhoods that they're looking at.
Well, here's the thing, Janice. Sometimes it's having this conversation, even though the goal that is in that we're going after may be accomplished in 2017 or 18 or whatever, but having the conversation, connecting these things, presenting them in a different narrative than people mostly in the course of their busy lives see things through.
Absolutely.
Okay? Is a step in the right direction. It may take us 4 years to get to where this is fully implemented.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where when you explain to somebody, it's a almost like a not an aha moment, it's almost like a da moment. Like,
right.
Yeah, of
why
course.
Hasn't it happened
well,
yet?
No, it's like, of course. Yeah, are you telling me something new? Well, you know, I'm hearing it kind of in a new way, but I kind of instinctively know this.
Right, but how do I get involved?
How do I get involved?
Yeah. You know, yeah. if you don't mind, Deborah Pearson obviously works with us, and she's also a volunteer with the organization. She has been very She's implemented a lot of things to help us with the organization, yeah. and instrumental actually in getting volunteers and people to help us with the cause. One of the things that we're doing right now, because this is a huge project,
yeah,
it's a very costly project,
right.
as one of our first ones that we're actually one of the biggest initiatives that we're doing. So we're looking for volunteers right now. So volunteers.
So how do people find you guys? Who do they contact? How do they find out more about this?
They would go onto our website, which is parentishealth.com, and there's a tab on the tab that they can click on the foundation, and our contact information is there.
Mm-hmm.
They can. Am I clear to give them the phone number?
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Right. Whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah, and it's up in the right hand corner, by the way.
Yeah. Yep. It's 949-305-2745, and you can ask for Janice Frechette, and I am happy to walk you through the process. But again, it's about talking and having the conversation, mm-hmm. and that's where we're going to start really bringing this into.
Give us some idea of the numbers. I'm assuming that the Parentis funds some of it.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So here's where we are. Just to give you an idea.
What are the goals?
So just to give you an idea of the cost to launch this program for 2017, for instance, it's probably going to be close to $200,000 to launch this. Every year, that is, okay? So we have done a lot of the legwork. That's why we need help in raising funds to do this and some of the other programs that we have as a foundation. So right now, if you guys don't mind, mm-hmm. We would like to come back and actually give you updates on different events that we're going to be doing throughout the year.
That makes sense, yeah.
At the end of this year and all of next year.
Always
just to do different initiatives.
And so what is Parentis Fund then? This is their foundation. There's a for-profit entity that does all this home health care and senior living facilities, and they provide what, the structure for the organization?
Yes, so we do provide. We created the foundation. Tarek and I actually talked about this, and we created this about a year ago.
And
we
there's some people that work then.
Yes. So we have volunteers. We're actually this year looking into more people to employ and get volunteers and so forth.
Got it.
But all of this is going to be funded. If it's not funded by donation, it has to be funded somewhere. And
right.
You know, we are are doing our part
to
do that.
Are there grants
also.
And other things you can apply for all
there,
this?
There are, and we will. We are actually in a process of looking at those avenues right now. But, you know, word of mouth and people that actually get it and care and want to help us with the cause is exactly
the best way.
You know,
I mean, there's you get guys handing me a bunch of stuff about different things, you know, backgrounds on the organization and stuff. And, you know, there's one sentence that basically says, support. So passion about supporting youth development and senior advocacy. How often have you seen youth development and senior advocacy in the same sentence?
Yeah,
that was the point I was trying to make
that gap.
Throughout this. They exist in two separate buckets, two separate rooms, two separate foundations, two separate. Help the kids and help the seniors are never coordinated together.
And, you know, in educating the young children that we have right now, and letting them experience what the elders go through and things
it's
that
Tuesdays with Maury experience.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very much so.
It makes them aware.
Go
and
read
more
that book
compassionate.
If you haven't.
So I'll share with you guys something that's very very apropos, I think, with this. Paul,
he's pointing at me.
I'm pointing at you because you make me donate money. So that buys me the right to point at you at will.
He's okay. Loaded. He's loaded, by the way.
I'm going to get accosted in the parking lot. And not just by Pokemon. There's a Pokemon in the lobby.
So that's how he gets the clothes. He models them.
Every
week he comes in with a
foursome or a couple.
I make a stop on my way to the radio station. I borrow my outfit for the day because you
got to
look good on radio. Right. But anyway, so
that's how it's done.
So this is what's apropos.
Keep it spicy.
Okay, keep it spicy. There you go.
That's back to that.
That's the second time she's done that. Yeah. She get like a ching ching. You know, like somebody pays us every time Janice says keep it spicy. Go ahead, say it one more time. See if we
keep it spicy.
Oh, I like that.
I love
we
spice
might,
it.
We might have to like add her into our intro.
Yeah, we'll have to.
But here's the apropos thing. Paul has said it before, and I will just remind the viewers, and I want to bring this up for you guys. Here's a gentleman who was grandfather for the first time, mm-hmm. but he himself didn't really know his grandparents.
Mm-mm. Wow.
So he doesn't even have that reference point. And why I bring it up mm-hmm. is this, okay? Mm-hmm. That is probably even more the case with the younger generation, okay, in some cases. That means that figurehead, that mentor, we keep using the word as mentor almost as if it's, you know, like a corporate mentor or whatever.
Right.
This is somebody who maybe even your family, like I was fortunate enough and I always looked at it as being one of my greatest, you know, treasures and assets, is that I have an extended family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there are things I could talk to my uncle about that I could never talk to my father about. The things I might, you know, I could run to my grandmother about and basically, you know, my mom would basically have to come get me from my grandmother's house when I was dropped off because I'd go over there and say, oh, you know, I didn't get to eat that or whatever, and grandma would put me on the counter and make me the food, right? And then
mom
would
so
come
mean,
over.
She won't
you
make cookies
had that
for me. Yeah.
You just had that yesterday night. What are you talking about, right?
Right?
But that role, that persona, that personality in your life, that is very life-shaping mm-hmm. in some cases, okay? Very supportive, very positive reference point, a safe place.
Absolutely.
Those people sometimes are missing in today's society.
More and more.
More and more.
The families are scattered all over the country.
We are able to provide a program. We talk about, you know, you're talking about literacy, you know, innovative literacy intervention. Okay. That may be the reason.
Oh,
but there's so much more that comes out of that interaction.
Amen, right.
Yeah.
And we are all about having those conversations and having them in a different manner than we usually do because I think we are richer as a community for having those discussions.
And Absolutely. It's so important to realize and you know in being involved with the Boys and Girls Club, one of the missions that we are looking to get out into the community is that type of organization just doesn't exist for underprivileged children.
No, it doesn't.
It exists for all children,
yes, right.
All walks of life, everybody, because every child, no matter where they live, it could be in an affluent home, but those families are working hard.
Yeah.
So they don't have the mentors.
Right.
They don't have the resources.
Well, and
even if you
had the financial resources to basically buy that,
mm-hmm.
right, you have another part of the community, which is sort of the senior community, if you will, that has something to contribute.
Absolutely.
Okay? That is being wasted as an asset. So even though you could afford to, we as a community,
if we give
to one another, you know, it's the old cliche, it takes a village, right? But it's not about it takes a village. It's about a village could actually add to the quality of life.
This came normally to my grandfather's and my parents' generation, where they grew up in extended families. Nobody moved very far away. Everybody lived down the street. You come from a family that grew up in the Middle East.
We had the same thing, even though we were scattered all over, but we still had, you know, fortunately with technology, we had the ability, because that was an important core descriptor of that family.
But now you got divorce, you've got people moving all over the world, you got people moving all over the country, you got all these things that are pulling families apart all the time.
Especially technology, though.
Oh, yeah. Technology
pulls you away. Yeah.
They're in the same house and they're apart.
Yeah. I have a 7-year-old Chloe, 7 years old. I have Miles that's 6, and I have Sebastian that's 3. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys are, I have
to, you have to
literally rip it away from their hands.
But you know what, Wilson? You know what, Wilson? It is a tool. That same technology could also be the bridge. It's a tool. It's how you use it. I mean, I can just speak for myself. My family's scattered all over the world. Okay. And we have been able to stay connected. And I think the reason why is because we all individually give value to that connection.
Sure.
Right, but technology also has our youth overstimulated today, and they lack the communication.
They don't need
but you know what, guys? I'm sorry. You know, I'm contrarian by nature, so I apologize for that.
Right? I agree, Doug.
But
I agree.
You know, my wife will tell you.
They
still
are.
Okay, but yeah, but you know what? We blamed sugar before. We blamed chocolate before. Mm-hmm. There's every generation seems to look at the younger generation and say, you're overstimulated, you're not involved enough. You know, you're sitting on the sofa in the basement. Remember the old 80s show?
But this
sitting on the sofa in the basement, smoking weed or doing nothing, go to the 70s show. Every generation says that.
Bring the pagers back and bring the scans.
But you know what the difference is, Rob? This time it's true.
Paul, your grandson will be saying the same thing in about 40 years.
Right. I think with our programs and initiatives to empowering and bringing one-on-one conversations in person is so important, and that's what bridging the gap through, you know, youth through maturity does, is that it's sitting them down with their elders and learning to communicate, socializing again.
You know what I'd love to bring in here sometime when you guys come back sometime? Bring some, you say this program is in place in what, San Diego and some other places?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bring some people along who've volunteered.
Both sides. Youth development and senior advocacy. Both of those people.
And let them say, we can talk about this all day, let them put it in their own words. What did it do? What did they
say? We're wearing our lab coats, holding our clipboards, and basically taking notes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, let's implement it.
The perfect example is a story that Wilson told me one day about his daughter, Chloe. He had told her that she needed to learn a new word every day. And she's like, you need to get the dictionary, you need to get a book, you need to read and learn a new word and let me know what you learned. And she says, well, why, Daddy? I can just ask Siri. Why? Yeah. And she just didn't get it. Yeah. Wow. And then she's looking it up
there. 6 years old and she knows Siri.
And I don't need to know how to type it or spell it because there's autocorrect on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And voice.
Right. I remember when autocorrect on my typewriter was a big deal.
That is with the white ribbon right, to go back and forth.
There was something on Facebook recently that had stop me when you see me do this, and it was using whiteout on a computer screen.
You know what else? It's like, for me, I don't even research anything. I don't need Google. My wife knows everything.
Yeah,
that's actually that's a happy marriage, Wilson, right? But no, but I mean, my dad did the same.
She's going to hear this.
She'll be happy to hear that.
My dad did the same thing to me because my spelling was atrocious. I remember this. I remember, not fondly, by the way, this little vinyl, little green book. Okay, like little pad, right? And he would write, and he's an engineer, so it was all like printed, like clean line it was like, could you be more perfection when you're writing this stuff down? 5 words every week.
Wow.
Okay, and here was the thing. Okay, and I love you to death, Dad, but you know what? This is a little bit of almost abusive, right? I still have issues. I go to therapy for this, right? But basically, at any
time,
I don't even know if I should be telling you guys this. You
go ahead.
I love this.
You gotta share.
Okay.
So he, at any time, place. I was supposed to carry this book with me wherever I went. Right?
Oh my god!
This little booklet, this little pocket booklet, like it's almost like the police department. You know,
check on you. Right?
Remember your black book,
your papers.
Remember your black book, right?
But it was green. I still remember it. It was like the color of that truck. Okay? It's vivid in my mind. Okay.
Yes.
At any point in time, he could ask me for the book, and he could quiz me like spelling bee style on any word that has already been given.
Oh, wow.
And imagine, 5 words a week.
Right.
So by the time we're through like 20 weeks times 5,
that's actually
and
a great
any
idea.
Of those are like.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah. So did that solve my spelling problem? No. Okay. Did it give me an affinity for verbiage? Not at the time.
Right?
Right. But yes, no, I mean, I do have an affinity for wordsmithing, and I do enjoy the, you know, the sort of the and here we are, you know, we're on a talk show, right? So we're talking, right?
Yeah.
But it is interesting that those individual role models in people's lives, your mentor, you said, you know, Janice, mm-hmm. those people are very instrumental in what quality of life we individually have and as a community then bring to our communities later in life. So if we have people that are able to play those roles that are not necessarily blood, okay, but they're part of the community, it behooves us to actually, I don't want to make the word seem like we use them, but to benefit from them, because otherwise it's a waste. It's a loss. It's a loss. And when it's gone, it's gone. And those personal individual experiences that people bring to them, when they interact with others, their sharing of backgrounds and stories, the way we used to share and pass on knowledge.
I used to think that I've accumulated so many crazy bits of weird, wacky knowledge. I know so many. I know a little bit about a lot of things.
One quick look at Paul, you know that. Right?
I know a lot about. I know a little bit about a lot of things. And I tried to pass this on to my daughter after we adopted her. She wasn't that interested in most of the stuff for me. And I thought, well, I'm just going to die knowing all these weird facts and strange things and stuff.
Oh,
I spent my whole
man now.
And now my little guy, he's just fascinated. He just absorbs all this stuff. And I said, now I know why I absorb. I saved my matchbook collection. You already know what matchbook?
Yeah.
All those little cars and stuff from the 50s and 60s.
Oh,
yeah. I saved them all.
I thought like when you went to bars. Oh, no.
That was
no.
the same thing.
Starting at 12.
Yeah, the matchbox. Not matchbooks. Matchboxes. Yeah. And I saved all these little cars, and I was going to throw them out once, and I thought, I don't know who I'm saving from. My daughter. I have a daughter. She didn't want to play with these little cars, and now this guy found them in the closet, and he plays with them every week when
he
comes
over. So
what
does that do to you when you see him playing with them?
It feels like I'm passing something. It wasn't for naught that I collected this knowledge and collected these cars and collected all this stuff. Somehow, it isn't just going to end up in the trash when I'm gone.
And here's why I'm asking you. Yeah. Because that feeling, Mr. 60-year-old man, okay, it's the benefit you get out of that exchange.
Oh.
So when we talk about it's giving for the kids and all this stuff, it's not a one-sided situation. You're benefiting also from that exchange that a program like this brings.
Absolutely. We talk all the time in this. We do mostly business shows in the station, and they talk about the importance of
There's
pride.
No business shows on this.
There's no business on this radio. This is monkey business. Sure. We do, but they talk about, you know, the Seth Godin wrote a book called Tribes, and lots of people talk about this. Where the culture, you got to create a tribe around your business. You got to create a tribe where you live in your community, and we all become part of this virtual tribe. And so first thing you do when you join a tribe is they tell you the stories. Hey, kid, let me tell you how we used to do things in the old days. Let me tell the elders take you aside and pass on these stories. And the stories become the unifying factor of this tribe, this company, this community. And I sometimes think that so many stories are being lost right now because nobody does talk, nobody does read. So even if you write them down, nobody reads them. This is a way to pass on stories from one generation to the next, knowledge.
But it's even I think it's even more powerful than tribes, because what we're dealing with is we're giving honor to the individual.
Well, sure.
And what they bring, right? And we're basically putting that into the larger collective consciousness and knowledge base. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, okay, and we do it in a manner that isn't trying to basically streamline those people. Like I said, the innovative literacy intervention program, quote unquote, the reading program or the, you know, meals program, whatever it is.
The discernible objectives.
That just happens to be the activity
that brings people together.
That bring people together. But that's not the exchange. That happens more organically as people, because it's all about relationships, right?
So the same applies to the show as we wrap it up. This is an exchange. This is the vehicle that brings all these different people together to talk about these issues, to talk about solutions, and to highlight what's happening in the community and to bring people together to
engage.
Absolutely.
Happiness is not a destination.
It's the journey.
No, it's the journey.
Absolutely.
And on that note, can I do a quick shout-out? I know you guys had my friends on the show last week from the Senior Care Hero Awards.
Yes.
We're really excited that our own, very own host, Rod Gontis, has
You're
been nominated.
Embarrassing me.
For a Senior Care
Yay!
Hero Award.
I think that's
and,
about time.
And we have many employees on our Parentis team who also have been nominated.
That makes it sound like I'm buying the award.
Yeah.
He
well,
lives in a Donald Trump world. He buys access right now.
Today's the last day to vote.
Oh, okay.
Many
What's the
Parentis
website?
Parentis teams are also okay. Members are, have
anybody,
been nominated.
Any, where do they vote?
www.SeniorCareHeroAwards.org.
Senior Care Hero Awards, plural. Senior Care Hero Awards, plural.
.org.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Deborah. If anybody, thank God we don't have the YouTube camera on.
Because that we have
my face is about the color of the orange wall behind me right now.
You should be.
I appreciate that. It is an honor to
brother.
Be nominated. And, yeah, please go check it out. There's great people that have been nominated on there. And give them the website again, please, Deborah.
www.SeniorCareHeroAwards.org. And I just became very humbled and surprised this morning to find out that I was nominated by one of our clients at Parentis Health.
That's awesome.
Well, that's great.
That was a nice surprise. I'm very humbled. Not worthy, but...
I think you're very worthy. Okay. And well-deserved. You so much, like Wilson was saying. I want to thank you guys for being here. Great
you.
Show.
Thank you for having us.
Always fun to just kind of ramble with Paul here and have some people around the table. We don't do it enough, community. We don't do
we
it
really
enough.
Don't.
We really do need to do it more. And if anybody needs to get hold of us, Rad Life on Facebook, or you can reach me at Rod, R-A-A-D, period, G-H-A-N-T-O-U-S, at gmail.com. Call me on my cell, 949-212-8299. And we will see everybody here, same time, same bat channel, next Wednesday.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You
have been
so
listening
much.
To the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontis, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.